It's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. Today we have such a special and such an extraordinary guest. Today we have what one would consider a true hero. And I know that there are all kinds of heroes. I've actually been thinking about this week. Today, of all days, I'm actually down in San Diego, and I'm being inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And it's such an honor and such a privilege for me to be here. And I think about all of the people that have made a difference and forged all these incredible roads and such bravery and such sense of adventure. And then this week I also had an opportunity on Mother's Day to meet one of my personal heroes, Leslie Caron. And that for me was so special. And then this week the president was on, you know, front of the world talking about the 9/11 memorial and of all the heroics and the people that ran into these burning buildings and saved lives. And today we are talking with truly a hero of our generation and our time. And I am so proud and so privileged, because when we talk about unlimited life, this really is what it means to live on an unlimited life. Today we are talking with Alessandro Bordini. And Alessandro is amazing because he is traveling the world. And I know if we all close our eyes and think, wouldn't it be wonderful to take a global tour around the world to see new places, to meet new people, to experience the experience of life. But not only is he doing this, but he's doing this, and he is blind. And he's created this blog that's just amazing. I was taking time today and just reading through some of his stories, and tears would roll down my eyes, and other times I was elated and excited for him and just thrilled. But the thing that really, struck me and took my breath away was something that he wrote to his readers, and it said, "I need your help. Helping me, you'll make the world tour with me, and you'll see places that I will not be able to see. But by hearing people, I'll tell you with my voice, my words, my pictures, and my videos." And he is sightseeing, and he is seeing through the eyes of the people he meets. He's seeing love and humanity in an entirely different way. So it is my honor, my privilege, my pleasure, my joy, my thrill and excitement to introduce you to today's guest who truly lives an unlimited life, and that is Alessandro Bordini. Wow, just an amazing story. Alessandro, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Oh, such an amazing story. I was reading your blog today, and as I was sharing, there were times that tears were just welling in my eyes, and other times I think I was so elated and so excited and so overjoyed for you. And what a remarkable journey that you have been on.
Thank you. It's exciting for me as well, because every time that I meet some people that feel some special feelings like you that contribute to me to go on with what I'm doing.
It's just, it's unbelievable to think about. And I was reading in your blog that you're originally from Verona, is that right, or Providence in Verona?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you had sight, correct? I mean, you grew up seeing the world and seeing colors and seeing lights and seeing people and mountains and oceans. And then what happened?
About 5 years ago, I had an accident. I was a skydiver. I did skydiving for 3 years. And the last landing was not so good. So I had a very bad accident, and the injury provoked me also my blindness.
That's remarkable. And then, so for you, so many people would have taken that sight and just stopped. Their entire life would have just paused And I know in reading through your blog, it said that you actually did something extraordinary and exceptional and something I've never heard before, but you took a course on brain function.
Well, I decided to do that because when I realized that the people around me were really, really good and helpful, I thought that that was a very, very good opportunity for me to tell to the others what I found, what I understood. I think that it was something that I really had to do. So I didn't care about what some people told me that, oh, you're blind, you cannot do that because it's difficult, it's impossible, so many countries. But I don't care about what the people usually tell me if they don't know really what that means. So I just want to try. I think that if we don't try to challenge things and everything that life can give us, it's this would not mean to live our life. I want to try to do everything that I want, and then if I succeed, oh, very good. If I fail, it's not a problem. I tried, so it doesn't matter.
That's amazing. And so what happened when you took the course on brain function? You were able to see and do more than most people could? Or that you realized that you had senses that were capable of taking over senses? Or what was the epiphany, or what was the lesson that was the big wow or the aha for you?
It took me time to realize what happened to me, because in the first months my mind was not clear. I spent 2 weeks in coma and about 2 months with a lot of confusion in my mind. So I realized about my blindness step by step. And also I didn't know the reason. Doctors couldn't tell me what happened to me. They just told me that maybe it could take few weeks, few months to have my sight back, but that didn't happen. So I accept what happened to me gradually. After about 1 year, I realized that blindness would have been my future, my the rest of my life. So, but I was ready to accept that, because I already found good people. I already found that it was possible for me to live a very, very joyful life. So it was okay.
That's incredible. And then I also saw on your story that during that time, actually after the blindness happened, that you fell in love. And so what was that like, to meet somebody and to fall in love and to have a different experience of love and being with somebody?
Well, you know, you cannot control your heart. So when somebody special comes to you, you can be blind, you can be deaf, you can be normal, you can be black, white, tall, fat, thin, you can be everything, but your heart you cannot listen what your mind think. You cannot control your heart. So it's love is over senses.
By doing that, by falling in love at that point and having your heart be so full and so enriched, did that help you on your journey, saying, I'm going to meet people and have relationships and just follow my heart around the world and be open to who I meet and what I feel?
I don't know if I understood exactly what you asked me. Can you say it again?
Yes. So when you fell in love and you said your heart just, you know, was enriched, when you now travel, was it the same for you to say, I am just following my heart when I travel and see who I meet and let my heart lead me?
This is not what I'm really doing now, because now I have a priority. My travel is my priority. So all the rest is after my travel. No, I mean, my family, maybe my family is more important than my travel, but my family is fine, it's very fine. So after my family, there is my travel, and all the rest of the things come after. So I had to wait a few months more to listen again my heart.
It's incredible. And then you started a nonprofit? And
sorry?
I saw that. You started a charity, a nonprofit?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
I decided to travel. It's my own project. So I don't have any sponsor. I just want to do this travel with the people that I meet. And sometimes I find people that help me just give me information. Sometimes I found people that help me giving me food or small money. I
think that's wonderful, because I love the fact that you're taking people with you, the people that you meet, the people that support you, the people that have helped you financially, the people, you know, that have hosted you. It's such a beautiful journey to be able to see through other people's eyes. It's just fantastic. And you speak French and English and Italian?
I learned French when I was in Africa. I knew very small French before. I studied French when I was very young, but when I crossed Francophone countries in Africa, I started to speak French more than before, because, you know, when you need something, you have to do that. So it's what I did. I cannot speak a very good French, but I can explain what I need. I can understand what the people tell me, and this is enough.
That's amazing. And then what made you decide to travel the world? I mean, that is such a big vision and dream.
About 3 years ago, I went to a city in Italy, to Cesena. It's the city where I spend most of the time at the hospital after my accident. I wanted to go there to meet doctors and the nurses that took care of me. And when I arrived there, I didn't book the assistance for disabled people, because in Italy I was used to travel by train, assisted by a person of the train company. That day I forgot to do that, and I was at the train station alone. I had no idea about the place. I had no idea where to go. I had no idea what to do. Some people came to me, asked me if I needed any help, and I said, yes, of course. So by the people that I met that day, I moved from the train station to outside. I reached the hospital. I reached all the floors that I need. I went from Cesena to Ravenna, the city where there is a skydiving center that I was used to go to do skydiving, and I went from Ravenna back to my town just because I met helpful people. At evening, I thought about what happened that day, and I thought it was amazing. It was incredible for me. It was something new for me, and I started to think about that. I started to think that if I could, if I did that, if I traveled through few countries, few cities that day, I could do that for all the cities in Italy. Why not in Europe? Why not around the world? And that was great for me because that meant that there are good people everywhere, and it was so great a thing, so a very positive thing that I thought that it was. I really had to spread this message as much as possible.
That's fantastic. And Alessandra, I'm going to ask you to speak a little closer to the phone because I want to make sure that everyone can hear you, if that's possible. And as you decided to travel and say, okay, I can do this in other countries, it's one thing to go to France, to go to Scotland, but to go around the world? I mean, that's so brave, and it's so adventurous. And at what, I mean, did you just decide, I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to share this journey with the world?
Yes, of course. What I wanted to do, it was to tell about my project, about goodness of the people to everybody, to the people as much as possible.
And then you're going very quickly, as you say in French, vite, is that it, quick? Through each country, just maybe 4 or 5 days in each country to see...
Average time for each country,
yes.
It's about five, six days. It depends about the countries. How big is a country? United States, for example, are taking me longer because it's a huge country. Our country is, I can cross maybe some other countries faster, but the average time it's about 5-6 days.
That's remarkable. So you went to Africa?
Yeah.
Have you been? And so what was Africa to you? How did Africa feel to you?
Well, it's not so easy to explain what I feel for Africa, because Africa was almost the beginning of my travel. From Italy, I moved to France, Spain, and then from Spain I went to Morocco. After Morocco, I crossed 24 other countries in Africa, and I spent about 5 months there. When I was there, I had a strange feeling. I think that I loved and I hated Africa at the same time, because it was a very strong and hard time for me. The culture is very different. People seemed so strange for me, and also very friendly at the same time. Now that I'm far from Africa, I don't know what to say in English. Anyway, I miss Africa so much because the people are so friendly, and I think you can feel that it's the land where we born in the beginning.
Mm. That's beautiful. And Africa, Morocco, Ethiopia. And you're saying France and Germany, all of these countries. And then I read on your blog that there are places that weren't so friendly and loving. Hotels that would not let you in or hostels because they said that they don't let people in that are handicapped or that. And what was that like for people not to be loving? Do you understand the question?
That happened, I think, only two times. that happened in New Caledonia the first time and in Taiwan just a few weeks ago. I was sorry, not for me, because I know who I am. I know what I can do. I was sorry because it's really sad. I think if some people are so close, are not helpful, because it's if the people don't live with love, it's a shame. And I think that life will teach them that it's not the way to live their life.
That's so sad for people to say, you know, we don't allow, or people not to follow through on their word, and especially countries that you think would want to share the magic of their country and the wonder and the joy of their country. But I love that you are so sure of your own life, that nothing has stopped you and can stop you.
I think that sometimes people just are too busy, with business, are too busy with work and job, and they live so fast, and they cannot have time to think about what they are really doing. So I think that is understandable. And anyway, that happened only two times in more than 1 year. I think that is not so bad.
And when you think about Africa, Morocco, Ethiopia, Eurasia, Indonesia, is there something you would want to share with the world and say, this is what you should know about all people, or everywhere I go, this is what I find, that people in general or humanity are? What have you learned about people in general?
Well, I learned that what I thought in the beginning, it's correct. So people are really friendly and helpful, as I thought in the beginning, in different ways. In different ways, because African people gave me some kind of things. People in Europe are different. People in Asia are different. And American people are different as well. It doesn't matter. What is important for me is the people agree with me, with my idea, and contribute with me to go on with my travel. So I think that the general thing that people mostly are good.
So beautiful. And now, have you ever met, while you've traveled, other blind people, or going to any blind institutes or schools?
Yes, of course. The first that I met, it was in Morocco. Just arrived in Morocco, in Rabat. I met the president of the National Blind Association of Morocco. I was just waiting on the street out of the train station, and I met him. He was walking with his with a friend. And he asked me what I was doing there, and I told him about my travel. So he told me, oh, well, if you need any help, you can contact me. I would be very, very, I would be very, very happy to help you. And I met another blind when I was in Sierra Leone, in Freetown. And I met the first blind association when I was in Dakar, in Senegal. In Dakar, I started to think about this association. I started to think about condition of disabled people in countries like African countries, but there are other countries like Africa and in around the world that don't have all the things that we can have in Western countries like in Europe or in United States, in Canada. They don't have all the tools that we normally have. So one of the first things that I will do after my travel is to start a kind of no-profit, I think, to try to find tools to send in those countries, because it's very important. Culture is very important to live a better life, and I think this is what I will do.
That's magnificent. I think that's a wonderful idea, and it's so needed. And I love the fact that you're taking this journey and you're finding ways to help others and give back to these countries in ways they didn't even know existed. And it's just beautiful. And I so appreciate you and all that you do. Just incredible. Really.
Thank you.
And when you meet, of course, when you meet the other blind, somebody else that's blind or a blind child, what do you tell them? What advice do you give to them on what's possible?
Well, I visit a school for blind people when I was in Sierra Leone, and at that time I didn't have a real conversation with the students. I just interviewed them to try to to tell also about their story. And I spoke with blind people instead when I was in Uganda. When I was in Kampala, I went to another blind association, and I tried to share my experiences. And I think that it was really interesting, because they didn't know how many things we can really do despite we are blind. So I think that it was a good thing, because maybe they had more examples about to think about to do more things about their life.
You're such a hero, truly. It's just incredible. And then what was it like for you? You said you were in a coma, to wake up and not know what happened.
It was funny, because when I woke up, I remember my mother that told me, Ale, you are in a hospital. You had an accident, and it's 19 days that you are in coma. And she told me also that I broke a leg, I broke some bones. And I said to her, "Are you sure? I feel so good." Because they were giving me a lot of morphine, so I really felt really, really good. So, in the first week, it was I had a lot of confusion in my mind, so it was not hard. I started to feel that it was a hard situation after maybe 2 or 3 months, when my mind was clear. But you know, I think that life gives us every time thing that we can handle. So it was not easy. It was not easy at all, but it's something that I was able to do, so I did it.
And what did your parents say when you decided to take this journey to travel? Were they supportive? Were they scared that you were going off and
My parents were really, really amazing and incredible. They were so scared. They were really, really scared, but they never tried to stop me. They never tried to change my mind, because they knew that it was something that I really wanted to do. And yeah, they support me, and they believed in me. And now I think that they are much more relaxed than in the beginning, because I already proved them that it's something that I can do.
Just fantastic. And how wonderful to have the support and the love from your family through this process. I mean, that must be remarkable, just to have them and to be able to share your experiences from around the world. I'm sure that their lives are enriched by what you're doing and what you bring back to them.
Yeah, I hope so.
And how do you decide where to go?
I was with a friend one day. We took the map of the world, and we just drew a line through the countries, and it was like a game. yeah, it was really like a game. Let's draw my future. We tried to consider the better things, and also the best countries to cross. So I decided my itinerary in the beginning, but I can change my mind every time, whenever I want, if there are problems or if there are particular things that I want to change. I can do that anytime.
And how do you get your visas and your travel tickets? Does somebody help you to do all that?
Yeah, visa, it's a very, very hard thing about my travel. Every time that I went to embassies or consulates, people helped me. I mean, people that were close to me helped me to fill forms and do all the stuff, maybe reach the shops where to apply for something online. But in some countries, it was very, very hard. I couldn't cross some countries because it was impossible to get visa. For some countries, it was really, really crazy. And I think that we should think about that. We should think that the biggest problem that I found in my travel, the biggest problem that I found traveling around the world, is just to get a piece of paper. Not to find people, not to find places where to spend the night, not to find everything I needed. Just to obtain a piece of paper. We should think about that.
That's so profound. That is something to think about. And it's amazing to say that that's the border, that's the boundary, that's the wall, that's the hurdle, is a sheet of paper, not the insurmountable journey that you've taken in this incredible road. And it's not the blindness, it's not speaking the language, it's not arriving and not knowing anybody. It's a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
That's just, I agree with you. It's something we really should focus and look at. And then how do you find your hopes? How do you know where you're going to stay? And, like, you pick a country like America, how do you decide what cities to go to or where you'll go and what you want to see in that country? Is there certain things that you say, this is France, I want to see the Eiffel Tower, this is America, and I want to see the Grand Canyon? Or do you just choose, I want to experience these type of people in the South, in the Midwest?
Well, my priority, as I told you, it's my travel. It's to consider everything that I need about my travel. So the first thing that I need every time that I reach a new place, it's to find a place where to spend the night, and also to get local money if I am in a country where there are different monies. And I decide what to do every time, step by step, every time that when I reach the place. For example, from Vancouver, I went to Seattle because it was the closest city. The people suggested me to go there. When I was in Seattle, I asked to the people where to do. I searched some information on the internet, but I found that maybe Portland was a better city where to go. And also from Portland, I just asked to the people every time that I was in a country, I ask, what is the best place to go on? Every time I ask suggestions to the people, this is the way that I travel.
I love that. I love that there's so much trust and there is so much joy in how you move from place to place. And then why only 4 or 5 days per country? Why not spend a month or a year in each country or several months? Why the desire to come in and come out and move on?
Well, I plan to cross about 100 countries. So this is the reason why I have to go so fast. Because I would like to finish my travel at the end of this year. United States are my country number 60, and I remain about 40 countries. So if I spend 1 month for each country, that means that I will travel for about 3 more years, and it's too long for me.
And when you blog about your travels, what is the response of people that follow your blog? Are they cheering for you? Are they curious at what you will find? Are they excited? What do you find that people do when they read your blog or respond to you?
Of course. The way the people are doing with my blog is changing. In the beginning, nobody knew about my travel, just few people. And day by day, country after country, people started to be more and more. Recently, every time that I post a new article, there are many people that just gave me an answer, just approve what I'm doing. Some people mail me or give me just some comments on my blog, and that gives me a lot of energy, because if I know that people are supporting me, this is another reason for me to go on.
That's just genius. And then how do you write your blog? Do you have software that helps you type, or do you do it vocally and it types in? Because I know people would be curious, especially people, you know, themselves that have had, you know, problems seeing of how that's possible to share the information with others.
Well, it's very easy. I have an iPhone, and iPhone, it's a very good tool for blind people, because there is a screen reader. There is a program that can read the screen for me, and is on board, is installed on board. on board, so I can do almost everything with my iPhone. It depends about how applications, how websites are made, because if they are well made for disabled people, for blind people, I can do everything. If the people that build websites and application don't know about some rules that they should respect to make it accessible for blind people, that could be a problem for me, because there are some websites that I cannot navigate. There are some applications that I cannot use. So I can do a lot of things now. I hope that in the future people will start to think more about also the others.
And then there's so many beautiful pictures on your post. So do you have other people take the photographs for you and help you post them, or are you able to post the photos?
Sometimes I can ask them to help me to take pictures. Sometimes I'm alone and I just take random pictures, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 pictures in 50 seconds. So I'm quite sure that one will be good.
Just following your journey is so incredibly beautiful, and it's just amazing. And then after you're through with this year of traveling, are there places that you want to go back to? Now that you've had this experience, have you had favorite countries that you said, gosh, I want to go back and spend more time here?
Yeah, of course. There are already some places that I will visit again after my travel, and because maybe I found very, very good people, I found very good friends, or maybe because I didn't find what I expected and I want to find that. So and also because I'm starting to really enjoy traveling, so I think that after my travel I can travel some more countries.
And what has been your experience of America so far?
It's, I have to tell first that it was very, very easy to get inside. Because from Canada, I crossed the border by land, and I didn't have any problem to enter. I didn't need visa. I just crossed the border by bus. They put a stamp on my passport, and they told me, welcome. So thank you so much. Cities are really, really easy for me as a blind to travel. People I found very, very helpful and warm people. So I think that United States will be probably one of the places where I will be back.
Well, we appreciate that. And has there been any opportunity for your family to join you in any of these countries?
I think that my family is good at home. I will be back in about 6 or 7 months. They are waiting for me, and that's all, because they have to take care about house, about job, about my dog. So we can meet. Yeah, we can talk by Skype, we can talk by messages, and it's okay. We don't need to meet us in person.
Can they train the dog to become a seeing eye dog?
No, because my dog is very, very old, and it cannot walk well anymore. So it's he's 13 now, and yeah, it's just an old friend now.
Yes. And would you still be able to parachute if somebody went with you? Would you fly again?
I did that. I did 2 tandem jumps after my accident because I wanted to experience once again what was to jump out of a plane. But I found that it's not the same. It's not so exciting as before. What I did, I did indoor skydiving by wind tunnel. Maybe 10, 14 hours after my accident. And it was really, really a big challenge for me because, yeah, it was not easy in the beginning. But I stopped to do that when I decided to travel around the world because it's a very, very expensive sport, so I had to save money to travel.
I love that you're doing this. And so for those that are listening to the show right now, how do people find your blog? How do they host you or financially support you on this journey? Because I know so many people would want to reach out and be part of this magnificent vision. And truly, just, it's so inspirational that you're doing this for all of us.
My blog is www.lighttheplanet.net. And I think that you can also Google it, and it will be easy to find it. Everything is written on my blog. And I also have a Facebook page, so every time that I post an article of my blog, I post it on Facebook. So by my blog or by my Facebook, it's easy to follow me.
This is so great, because I know that it would be so wonderful, and I believe that you have with you somebody that's hosting you now, and I would love to know what that's like as an experience, too, to be part of the journey, because I think that it's not just the journey that you're taking, but you're actually everybody that you meet. You're touching, you're inspiring, you're showing them the world in a whole different way. And so I would think for everyone, this is the most amazing of adventures.
Yeah, definitely. I started this travel from the beginning, but there are many, many people that are making a part of my travel with me. In every country, in every places, I meet people that put a piece of travel with their love, with their help, with their smiles, with something that I need. So it's not something that I'm doing just by myself. It's something that I'm sharing with the others. And it's something that it's composed by all the things that people are giving me.
And then as this journey comes to a close at the end of this year, will you have somebody write a book off of all your blogs or create a documentary or some sort of film to be able to get this information out to the world?
There is a friend. A friend of mine back in Italy is doing a documentary, and I'm writing a diary about my travel. Who knows? Maybe I will write a book, and what else? I don't know. I cannot think about so long in the future, because I can think only about today, tomorrow, and the day after. I want to be concentrated about my real time, and I will think about all the things when it will be the time.
And I know that in reading your blog, you had said that there was hopes for possible surgery in the future to regain your sight. And do you look for a time when you can do that, when you can see through your eyes again? Or are you happy now just to be able to see through others' eyes and to see through your heart and to see what the future holds?
Say it again, please.
So for a possible surgery in the future to regain your sight?
Okay, oh, yeah. I think that there are some probabilities for me to have my sight back, because I'm 28 years old and technologies are doing amazing things. So maybe in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know, some great doctor will find a solution for me. But if that will happen, I would be very, very, very happy. If not, it doesn't matter, because I already found that I can live my life in a very, very, with a lot of satisfactions. So everything that will come to me, it will be fine.
That's such a beautiful, beautiful way to live, and I so appreciate you being on this journey. And as we only have a few minutes left in the show, is there anything that you want to share with people and say anybody can do anything, or not to be afraid, or to live your dreams, or what information, or what would you encourage people to do that are listening to this show?
Some important things that people should know, should consider every time. I think that if we really want to do something, if we really believe in something, if we have a dream, and if we think that it's a good dream, it's something that is not bad for somebody else, nothing can stop us. So we just have to believe in our dreams and go home. Everything that happened to our life is something that is not a obstacle, is not some bad things that we can think that happened to us, is not something because we are unlucky, or it's just a challenge that we have to face to go on and become stronger. So we can handle everything that comes to our life. We just have to believe that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being such an inspiration, for taking the hero's journey, for stepping outside and doing what others dare to do, and for making your vision include humanity in the world. I think it's the most beautiful vision I've ever seen, and truly such a special way to live. And for each and every one of us, I think it's a magnificent journey. And for all those that are listening to the show, I encourage that you go to the website, lighttheplant.net, and you'll see all Alessandro Godini's blogs and how you can donate, how you can host him in your city, your town, your country, share the magnificence of your world and those around you. And we so look forward to following this story and to your diaries. I was so interested in the where you've been and the way that you have touched others' lives as they have touched yours. And for the book, for the documentary, and certainly for all those who you have touched, how their lives now are also unlimited. Just, we're so privileged to have you on this show.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me.
Oh, thank you, Alessandro. And certainly, I just wanted to say that this show is about leading an unlimited life. And you have personified that. You live the way that we all dream and dare to live. And I wish you the best of luck and much joy and happiness on your journey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, lighttoplanet.net, Alessandro Bordini, and traveling the world, seeing the world through others' eyes, and certainly we get to see the world through a new light, which is a light of bravery and adventure and true spirit and heart. So it's exciting, and we look forward to having you back on the show at the end of your travel after your other 40 countries. We would love to have you back and hear how the entire journey was for you and catch up on what the future is for you as well. So I hope that we can have you back on the program.
Maybe. I think that it will be possible.
Yes, that would be lovely. Well, thank you. I wish you all the best, and I so look forward to meeting you in person. And thank you for being with us today.
Okay. Thank you. And I also want to thank you and Elisa that she is hosting me now.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I wanted to thank Annalisa as well. And Annalisa, is there anything, since you were there, that you would like to share on what it's like to host for those that are listening to this show and would like the opportunity to host Alessandro in their home, in their town, in their country, what kind of an experience is to have that touch your life?
For me, it was just a blessing when I came across this story, because I thought, wow, what a great way to live when you just don't care about the bad things in life that happen to you, but all you think is, how can I make this into a positive? How can I just still live my life and to the fullest? And not only that, but show that no matter what limits life puts at you, you can just overcome them and go so much further and so much more beyond what limitations you have that you prove everybody wrong, including the universe. So for me, when I came across this story, the first thing I said was, if you ever come to the United States, please do me the honor and be my guest, because I want you in my life, because I think you're just going to be such an incredible part of my life. So I just made sure that if he came to L.A., I could snatch him and grab him and kind of keep him for myself for a little bit. So I've been privileged, and it's been nothing short than a magic trip for me to, like, go and pick him up, come and take him into my life and share with him what L.A. is and the good side of L.A., because a lot of times people forget about the good sides of L.A. So it's been awesome. It's been nothing short than magical for me. So thank you, Alessandro, for stopping by, because it's my privilege to have you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing this story with us, Annalisa. And thank you for this opportunity for both of you to open the doorway to all those that are listening to this show right now from around the world, and knowing that there are no lines, there are no boundaries, there are no borders. And I think the most profound thing, Alessandro, that you said today is the most difficult thing was a sheet of paper. Not the people, not the places, not the country, not the culture. But that what stops us is, you know, a sheet of paper or just restrictions that we put upon ourselves, but not those that are really made of truth and of our life. And so I think that's a lesson for all of us. So I thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you so much. Wow. What a magnificent, magnificent show. So, Alessandro Bordini, lighttheplanet.net. Immediately race, rush, go to this website, follow his blog, donate so he can travel the world, open your home, open your heart, open your city, your state, your country, and allow this vision in, because this vision of touching the lives and traveling the world and seeing all of these countries through the eyes of those that live there and the eyes of those that are wanting to share their world in such a beautiful, magnificent way. And Alessandro, as he travels and he journals and he brings back the most sacred and special of information, which is the heart of humanity. And that's the greatest thing that we can all see, is the love that we have for one another. So this is Nicole Brandon with Unlimited Life, wishing you that all of your dreams come true. And with Alessandro Bordini and Annalisa Renetti, lighttheplanet.net, much gratitude for truly a hero of today.